This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, we are looking at our Hajj Chronicles, Day 4. Day 4 is focused on the first of the 3 days of Tashriq. These are like extensions of the Eid. The Eid here on the 10th is followed by 3 days of Tashriq, two of which need to be completed by those performing Hajj. The third is voluntary, and they can stay. But these days are the days of Mina. It doesn't mean you can't go back to Mecca. Some people stay in the Meccan vicinity. They go to Mina just to stone, and then they try to do their other prayers, etc., in Mecca. However, that really wasn't the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One may say, well, you know, in his time, the, you know, going between Mina and Mecca was very complex. You know, it took time, not easy, distances, etc. Now we can, after stoning, you know, bus into Mecca, spend all the time in Mecca till the next day, and then just bus back out again for the stoning in Mina. So we just go to Mina for stoning. We're just going, you know, after Dhuhr, before Maghrib, we get out there, do our stoning, and then back into Mecca. So these become days of Mecca, with only a brief visit to Mina for stoning. But this really is not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These days of Mina are days in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after completing Tawaf al-Ifada and the Sa'i, well, he didn't do the Sa'i, but everybody else who were doing Hajj Tamattu, they did. After completing Tawaf al-Ifada and shaving, he went back to Mina. So he went back to Mina from the morning, from the morning of the 10th, the 8th, from the 8th, he didn't stay in Mecca. In spite of the great rewards of prayer in Mecca, he didn't stay there. He went back to Mina. And this is what we said. The days and the nights of Mina are special. We have made them nothing. So much so that we don't even spend the days and the nights there. We just go there for stoning and back. But this was not the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take your rites of Hajj from me. So the logical arguments about transportation, all these other things, no. They really have no place here. It's just us, greedy. We want to get all the rewards from praying in Masjid al-Haram, and Mecca has more meaning than Mina, so why spend that time in Mina? Why? No need. Well, if we're not following the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, yeah, I guess there's no need. But if we came trying to follow his Hajj, then there is every need. There's every need. I'm not saying that while in Mina, we may not go in for a prayer in Mecca and come back, I would say there's no harm. But we don't turn it into Mecca instead of Mina. Our greater time should still be in Mina. This is still the Hajj. And Mina will be different from Mecca. When we stay in our hotels in Mecca, there is comfort there. You know, we can relax, we can really take it easy. We just go out stone and back there again, pray in Mecca. So Mina is not as comfortable as Mecca. Mina, you're in a tent. The tents are not so comfortable. Maybe you're on a cot, or maybe you're on one of the chairs that open out into beds and you can make them back into chairs. You know, some people have that. Some people may be more comfortable. But the bottom line is that Mina is where we're supposed to be. We have these next 3 days. Let us spend them where the Prophet ﷺ spent them. Yes, it's true, in his time people could go there and stay there as long as they wanted. Our times are different. We can't. Maybe once the days of Tashriq are over, you know, the arrangement that we have with our Hajj group is that you have to leave immediately after that. You only have... But know that your intention to follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will offer and provide for you far greater reward than you doing your own thing. No matter how logical it might seem to you, you doing your own thing will not carry the same reward, even though it involves Mecca and maybe even Medina. It will not carry the reward, the Hajj reward, of following Rasulullah. So don't throw away that reward. Stay with it. Do it as the Prophet ﷺ did it. Let this be the days and the nights of Mina, where we only have stoning, formal prayers, supplication, and adhkar. Words remembering Allah. That's it. And we have to use our time responsibly. We have time. We have the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. We have 3 days, or it could be two. Allah has allowed us to leave early after the two. But at least the 11th and the 12th, give that time to Mina. Give it to Mina. And follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we use that time not as spare time. It's not. It is time to worship Allah in Mina, which is something more similar to the way we will be at home. So in a sense, we are preparing to return home. We are fitting back into the norms of life, utilizing the spiritual development that has taken place over these past 3 days. We're now on the fourth. this is preparation for our return. If we can't do it right during these next 2 days, because now that's what's happening. We had reached the height, the 10th, yesterday, the Eid. And we didn't need to go into Mecca to pray Eid. There are a lot of people, you know, their thing is to go and catch the Eid bears. And no, this is not from the Sunnah. We didn't have to go into Mecca to pray Eid. We are on Hajj. Those of us on Hajj, Eid is not on us. Eid prayer is not on us. Otherwise, we would have made Eid there in Mina. But we don't make Eid prayers in Mina. So it's telling us, Eid is not a requirement, the Eid prayer, for those on Hajj. So the point is that we have these days. These days which become the test of the degree of transformation that has taken place within us during the Hajj. The core of the issues of Hajj with God, Arafah, we passed. If we passed Arafah successfully, and then Tawaf al-Ifada successfully, shaving, the slaughter, we've taken the full reward from this. Now Mina becomes, can we apply it? Can we apply it? Before we go back, we have a chance to prepare ourselves for returning home. So that is Mina. Don't neglect Mina. Don't turn Mina into just stoning. That the rites of Mina is just stoning. We take the bus out there or we walk out there just to do the stoning and get back out of there again. No. Don't make that mistake. Yes, scholars will tell you, you know, it's permissible to do that. Because being there through the nights of Mina is not obligatory. Yes, technically speaking, if you were not able and this was the circumstances, yes, okay, it's understandable. But you're fully able and you don't, that's something else. That's something else. So, from yesterday, you went back, you didn't go back, you're only going back today. My advice is stay. If yesterday after the Tawaf of the Father, your Sa'i, etc., you didn't go back to Mina, you missed out last night in Mina, don't miss out tonight and tomorrow night. Don't do that. Go to Mina and fulfill Hajj as closely as possible to the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. You still shorten your prayers and join them. No, you don't join them, sorry, here. You join them only in Arafah. But here, you pray them on time. But they're shortened. The time is there for you for adhkar, for dua, for praying as the Prophet ﷺ prayed. You still have Tawaf al-Wida, that Tawaf before you leave Mecca, you still have that to do. So when the time comes to go and do that Tawaf al-Wida, you want to be fully prepared. That will be your last Tawaf before leaving Mecca. So prepare now. Gain from those lessons that you have learned so far in your Hajj. Avoid unnecessary talk. This is the time when people spend most of their time just complaining. This happened to me and that happened to me, and Arafah, it was, you know, out in the sun and the tent fell down, and, you know, all the different things that happened. Don't eat. It's done, it's past, it's gone. You know, some people, they're just, the whole of their Hajj is just a big complaint. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Because no matter how bad that Hajj can get, it's still better than a lot of people are living today. Muslims around the world are living in all kinds of conditions far worse than anything we will face on Hajj. When we think of our brothers and sisters in Syria and what is happening to them, in Burma, the Rohingyas, what they are suffering, Hajj is nothing. Hajj is nothing. Hajj is relief. If they were able to come to join us in Hajj, that would be relief for them. Relief from the trials that they're facing. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, other parts of the Muslim world, Muslims are suffering. So Mina, embrace Mina. Take ownership of Mina. Do Mina like Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did Mina. So use your time wisely. Don't spend it complaining and complaining. Remember Allah. Here you can read Quran. You have time now. Read Quran with understanding. Reflect on its meanings. Use this time to worship Allah, to build on what you have achieved so far in your Hajj. This is Mina. So if you were there from last night, this morning was a morning of Mina. You prayed your Fajr, two Sunnah prayers, units of prayer before Fajr. You did it on time, and you did it in the best way you could. You prayed Salatul Dhuhr, two Rak'at. Now is the time to go for the second stoning. And in this second stoning, we begin in the last stoning on the 10th, we stoned what was known to be or referred to as Jamratul Aqaba, or the big Jamra. Not the big Satan, because again people have this idea that the Jamra, the pillar, the wall, is Satan. No, it's not. This time around, we're going to be stoning all three. There are three of them. One which is called the smaller pillar, the second called the middle-sized pillar, and the third, the biggest. So, you collect up seven stones, now you can collect it. In your tent, you can lift up the rug that's there on the ground, and underneath it, there's all kinds of stones that you can take out. Seven for each of the pillars. So that's 21. You may take a couple of extra, in case you lose or whatever, if you wish. 21. But have any trouble finding stones even there, because a lot of people throw mist, etc. They're on the ground. Somebody said, you can't throw with somebody else's stone. It's not really somebody else's stone. Any stone you find, there are no restrictions in this matter. It's not like once you've used it, it can't be reused. No. So, you choose, remember, as the Prophet ﷺ had said, you choose pebbles that are small, about the size of your fingertip. Not something when you throw it, you're going to hurt somebody if you miss. Something which you can throw, it will reach, not too small, that it's not going to reach there, the wind might blow it, whatever, no. Something which should reach its mark. And you should make sure you get close enough to do it. Some people, they get halfway there and they take all seven and they throw them one time. No, this is not. You throw one pebble at a time, saying Allahu Akbar. Remembering that these stones we're throwing are rejection of evil, rejection of disobedience to Allah. Reminding ourselves to commit ourselves to obeying Allah. This is a reminder each time we throw, each one we throw, rejecting what is displeasing to Allah. So, what we try to do is to reach close enough that we can hit that column. We're dealing with a column now. Before it used to be a pillar, now it's a column. Before it was a column or pillar, now it's a wall. A large enough wall that if you throw from anywhere beyond the edges, you cannot hit anybody on the other side. Which is a good thing. Some people say, oh, why? Why did they change it? There is no harm. Whether it's a wall, whether it's a pillar or a spindle, something very narrow. Now, the danger of missing and hitting people on the other side is far greater. So, this is an improvement to protect people from. There's no specific form that it has to take. So, get ourselves close enough so that when we throw, it will reach there. That's the main problem. You don't have to worry about hitting anybody on the other side now. But you have problems to worry about reaching it. Don't just go in part way and then throw. No, get close enough to ensure that when you throw it, it will actually reach. And furthermore, don't do as some people do, where they, from the outside, from the outskirts, they gather together in a group, they, hold lock arms, and they work themselves up, and then they charge with their group. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, charging through, just knocking people aside, knocking them down, stepping on people, and so on, until they reach there, and they do this. Throwing and then they turn around again and they charge back out. Hurting Muslims. Please, don't be a part of that. There's some communities that it's become common for them to do it. Effective in the sense that you get there, you can put your women in the center and you just mow everybody else down. So they have to throw with ease and they're protected, etc. But you have to consider the harm that you're doing to others. This is not a battlefield. We're not in a war. No harm to lock arms around the women to protect them and to reach there together as a group. No harm. But do it properly, respectfully. Consider your fellow judge. That is more important than getting there at any cost. So we should do this in the best way, throwing each pebble, saying Allahu Akbar, reminding ourselves that Allah is greater than whatever we have desired, which is displeasing to Him. Allah is greater. He can provide greater and better than whatever it is we desire, which is displeasing to Him. And remember, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, with every stone that we throw, it is purification from major sins. One sin, major sin, is wiped away with every stone that we throw. One sin from the deadly sins, the major sins. So, make the best of this. And it is this time now when we're finished, after the smaller wall, the middle-sized wall, that we step aside, face Mecca, face towards the Kaaba as best we can, and make dua after these stonings. We mentioned on the day of the 10th, when we were stoning there, that there wasn't any dua. Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. Though if you did it, there's no harm, but it's not from the rites of Hajj. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was to stone and leave. Focus on getting into Mecca to do the tawaf. The father slaughtered the animal on the way. So here, now, we have the time, we're in Mina, we're not going anywhere, so now is the time that we make the dua. After the third and largest, we head back, giving other people a chance, and not to slow up the whole process, we head back to our tent in Mina. And as I said, this should be done before the sun sets, before Maghrib. Though if one is prevented, it could still even be done after Maghrib. But really, in your mind, set between Dhuhr and Maghrib. You have a stretch of time there. Now, the Hajj guides may advise you best to go immediately after Zuhur because the crowds are less then. You know, they have done their checking, etc. So you can follow their advice. As long as they're not advising you to go after Maghrib. No. Don't make that a first choice. That's what happens when you're stuck. Things happen. You weren't able to reach there and so on, so in time. You're stuck on the way. You know, all kinds of circumstances that could possibly arise. Otherwise, you want to try to do it after Dhuhr, between after Dhuhr, after Zawal, they call it, until the setting of the sun. Then, after you've finished, go back to Mina. Tents, the tents of Mina. Go back there. Don't run into unless you're just going and coming. You're going to go make some rak'at there and then come back. No harm, but don't make this the goal. Try to make this Hajj. It's your ibadah. This is your obligation. Try to make it as closely in agreement with the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. That's what's your responsibility. He said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me your rights of Hajj. Believe that his way was the best way. So, go back to the tent and make your prayers, your our prayers, continue to make dua, all those duas that you've built up in Arafah, in Tawaf, in your Sa'i, you know, use those duas now. Use them. Use them well. Use them sincerely, so that by the time you leave Mina, your heart will be softened. You will have changed. This Hajj will have impacted on you. A change of your life. The change of your lifetime. Let Hajj be that. And then you have made the Hajj of Rasulullah. You have made the Hajj which Allah prescribed. That is the one He prescribed. The one which changes your life. The life-changing Hajj. Not the ritual and the rites. A holiday. A tourist visa visit. That's not the Hajj. May Allah accept. And I'll see you tomorrow on the fifth day. Reminding you about Hajj and Mina, the days of Mina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.